Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Here we go again, right? Another tragedy, another mass shooting. Oh, this one has differences from some of the others. We'll get to all of that. The main discussion I want to have this hour is what we can do about it. Particularly what we can do about gun laws. First, I do want to welcome our new audience. We are formally today a member of Progressive Voices. I've been on the Progressive Voices network before, but this is the first time they are officially carrying the Inside Scoop. I want to welcome all the new listeners. Many of you heard the show by podcast, but now you can hear it live. Every day, I or Leslie Marshall will be on this network from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, live. That's 2 Central, 1 Mountain, and noon Pacific. I want to welcome everyone in Progressive Voices, whether you get it from iTunes or iHeartRadio or wherever you get it. This is the largest network of progressive radio talk show hosts in the country, and I'm proud to be a part of it. And I guess I just wish you weren't seeing me when I'm at my angriest, most depressed, as I am every day. After a mass shooting, these things used to be rare. They used to come along, mass murder by guns in America, maybe once every 10 years, and then maybe once every 5 years, and then every few years, and then every year. And now, I mean, Las Vegas, Orlando, Columbine, Sandy Hook, the Colorado shooter in Aurora, San Bernardino. I can go on and on and on. I could probably go the full hour talking about mass murder. And that doesn't mention the ordinary gun murders and crimes that occur every single day. Sometimes people who don't want to talk about guns say, this is not the right time. We're still burying the dead. We're still treating the injured. Well, if I had to pick a day when there's no gun violence in America to talk about gun regulations, there'd be no days. I think we'd have to go back many, many years to find a single day in America without gun violence. And yeah, this one was more dramatic than most. It is the largest mass murdering incident by a gun in American history, breaking the record just set by Orlando a year ago. Just a year ago. Now 59 dead. I hope there's not more, but I wouldn't be surprised if that number grows. More than 500 injured, all from one man, one person. On the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel in Las Vegas, shooting 2 football fields across, shooting across the Las Vegas Strip, which if you've been there is a pretty wide highway, all the way into the outdoor concert venue, which was some distance away, and where they had banned weapons of any kind. Guns, knives, they even banned stuffed animals. I don't know, maybe you could stick something sharp inside. But these guns have more power than that. They shoot farther than that. If the man had had a knife, how much damage could he have done? Could have stabbed 1, 2, maybe 3 people? It's kind of hard to stab 3 people in a crowded venue. Maybe he could have killed one. He wouldn't have killed 59. He wouldn't have injured more than 500. Oh, he knew what he was doing. He got up there on high. He did what anyone in a war would do. Anyone in the military will tell you, you take the high ground and you shoot down. That's how you kill the largest number of people. Basic military warfare using a military weapon. and one that never should have been available to civilians. Oh, and all you gun folks out there, how good were your guns at preventing this? You think you could have figured out where the gun was coming from and shoot up into the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay and hit the shooter and not hit, I don't know, another hotel guest next door? Are you that good a shot? No, he was stopped the way all these mass murders are stopped, by hardworking, brave police, SWAT teams. They came in, discovered where the shooter was shooting from pretty quickly, relatively. I mean, 20 minutes of mass murder is still a lot. But apparently, at least one report is that the smoke detector went off in his room, and they discovered him that way, and he killed himself just before the police came into his room. By all accounts, at least so far, the man had no political goals that we know of, at least as of yet. He had no mental illness that we know of, at least as of yet. He was relatively ordinary. And yet, dozens of people are dead. A 23-year-old young woman, a 42-year-old man, a 7-year-old child, a 68-year-old grandmother, all individuals, all with names. It's very hard. It takes time to list 59 names. And what about the 500 injured, some quite seriously? And what about the horror and post-traumatic stress that people won't outlive? There was nowhere to hide. There was nowhere to hide. You're outdoors at a concert. Some people are talking about, good, well-meaning people, friends of mine, are saying, well, we just need more metal detectors. Really? The gun can shoot 2 football fields. I was in my hometown of Alexandria, Virginia, an hour or so after a congressman was shot, about a mile from my house. And I saw, to my horror, that from the baseball field, a gun was shot quite some distance away and made a hole in a building, in a concrete building, not a window, in a concrete building that was not close to the ball field. I mean, like a 5-minute walk from the ball field. These guns are just way too powerful. Now, I understand why the military needs them. I get why we need tanks. I even get, it's kind of a discussion for another day, but I even understand nuclear weapons. But just because our U.S. military has nuclear weapons does not mean every individual needs one. And all you folks that responded on Facebook and started talking about yourself, well, I like my guns for target practice. Guns are fun. Please don't take away my gun. You're not the point. You're not the point. Number one, I'm not talking about you. Right? I mean, I might even trust you with nuclear weapons if you're a friend of mine. I mean, I trust me with nuclear weapons. If I had nuclear weapons at my disposal, I wouldn't use them. Unless, I guess, I were president of the United States and a major American city were nuked or something, but I wouldn't use them recklessly. But that doesn't mean I want everyone in America to have access to a nuclear weapon. The same is true with some types of guns. I recognize we're not going to ban all guns in America, at least no time in the next decade or 2 or 5. But how about banning guns that can shoot across 2 football fields that are automatic or are semi-automatic and can be converted easily to an automatic weapon? You heard the sounds. You saw the video. Pop, 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 pop. Pop, 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 pop. Probably faster than I can move my lips. And every little pop, someone's dead. Or wounded, or shot, or injured, or barely missed. Pop, 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 pop. There goes another 5. Yeah, I realize that machine guns are banned in America, and that's a good thing. Happened in the 1930s after some of the mafia murders and the Prohibition era murders. We didn't have a National Rifle Association then that was buying politicians and telling them to fight back. And even most gun folks today, even the nuts, very few of them want to unban machine guns. But what did we hear from that hotel window? Sure sounded like a machine gun, like an automatic weapon. And we have to learn how we got that weapon. And frankly, the person who sold them that weapon should get lifetime imprisonment, at least. And I know the people that say, Mark, if you ban these kinds of things, you know, criminals won't obey the law. And that may well be true. Maybe this man could not be dissuaded. But the gun seller, perhaps, could be dissuaded. The gun seller who just wants to make a profit and doesn't necessarily want to murder dozens of Americans, injure hundreds. Maybe if we had lifetime imprisonment for gun sellers who sell guns that can be easily converted into automatic weapons to civilians, to non-law enforcement, to non-military, maybe they would think twice. In Virginia, where I'm a delegate in the Virginia House of Delegates, it is perfectly legal to sell semi-automatic weapons with massive ammunition clips. The guy in Colorado, by the way, had a 100-bullet drum. You don't even call it a clip anymore when it's that big. You can sell them to members of the ISIS terrorist group. You can also sell them to someone with a history, a long history, of domestic violence. How do you do it? Well, you don't do it in a gun store. That's prohibited by federal law. You just do it in the alleyway behind the gun store. You meet them on the internet. All you do is say, hey, I want to sell a gun to a complete stranger, no question asked. And the complete stranger walks up and says, great. He's thinking to himself, I want to murder hundreds of Americans. How do I do it? I want to buy a gun, no questions asked. Meet me behind the gun store. Perfectly legal in the Commonwealth of Virginia and in many American states, although to the Northeast's credit, it's not legal most places northeast of Virginia, which is why Virginia is the gun-running capital of the East Coast. And every year, and I know, I sit there, every year Republicans try to pass bills to make it easier for criminals to get guns, to make it easier for insane people to get guns, to make it easier for terrorists to get guns, and not just any guns, powerful guns. Bills like my colleague, Senator Dave Marsden, that would restrict ammunition clips, are killed in subcommittee. Background checks bills, like the ones that I've put forward to ban sales to terrorists or to ban sales over the internet to complete strangers, stopped in subcommittee. Meanwhile, Republicans, who control the Virginia General Assembly, they put forward bills to make guns more accessible. Let's bring guns into an emergency shelter. That was one of those bills that I voted on. I voted no this very year in 2017. Yeah, because if you're running from a hurricane and hiding and scared and worried about your life, just what you want to see is some guy walking around with an AK-47 strapped to him, or better yet, two who don't like each other. That's what you want to see in your emergency shelter, right? Well, Republicans thought so. They passed that legislation, and only with the intervention of Governor Terry McAuliffe, his veto, was that legislation not become law in Virginia. Well, we have an election coming up in Virginia in just a month, on November 7th, and voters will get to decide what kind of laws they want to see in their commonwealth. Got to take a break if you want to call, and it's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Mm-hmm.
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about the Las Vegas massacre, the terrorist attack, the largest gun murder in American history, just beating out last year's largest in American history that occurred in the Orlando Pulse nightclub. If you want to call in, it's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Got a bunch of you on the line. I'm going to start with my friend from hometown, from Alexandria, Virginia, Jeremy, on line three. Hey, Jeremy, thanks for calling in.
Hi, Mark. Wish there was a better reason to say hi.
Yeah, no, I know. You know, I've done so many shows the day after a massacre that I've lost count. I remember when it was unusual. 10 years ago, it was unusual. And now it's like deja vu.
Yeah. The only solace I can take right now from this is the fact that it still shocks me and you and people that we still can be shocked that it happens like this.
May we never stop being shocked. May we never be inured to it. May we never normalize this.
So one thing I was thinking of is that I think what you mentioned about semi-automatics is kind of one of the bigger points. Semi-automatic is kind of already a machine gun, but the laws don't treat it like that.
Yeah, I mean, so the difference, of course, is that, well, an automatic weapon, you pull your finger once and, you know, 100 bullets shoot out until the ammunition clip is exhausted. With a semi-automatic, you have to pull your finger back each time, which it actually, if you do it with your own finger, you can do it pretty quickly. I mean, I can do it, what, five times in a second maybe?
Well, you can also modify the trigger. To be even more sensitive.
And that's my fear, is that their semi-automatics are easily converted into automatic machine guns. So I would start, and there's a million gun bills I'd like to see, everything from background checks to ammunition clip regulations to making sure that people can't sell to strangers off the internet. But we could start with the easily convertible semi-automatic guns, maybe just banning the trigger lock, but whatever it is, the sear, whatever it is, banning that part of a weapon that makes it easily convertible to an automatic weapon, because nobody needs that. Hunters don't need that. If you're shooting a deer, you don't spray the deer with machine gun fire. It's not good for the meat. to have 20 bullet holes in it. And frankly, as I've long said, if you can't shoot a deer with 10 shots, maybe the deer gets to get away. Maybe they get a free pass. You're that bad a shot.
Isn't it all by law? You're supposed to try and shoot it once, knock it out down. Sometimes you can't hit the heart. I think it's the heart you're aiming for usually.
I don't know a single hunter that has ever said they need an automatic or really even a semi-automatic weapon. Certainly not a semi-automatic. It can be easily converted to an automatic weapon. Stay on the line with me, Jeremy. We got a lot more to talk about. 888-488-MARK if you want to join the conversation. 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
Never confuse Mark Levine with right-winger Mark Levin. The second E stands for empathy, which the other Mark lacks. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Back to the aggressive progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. After a shooting a massacre, really, like what occurred in Las Vegas, we hear lots of talk that it's not the right time to talk about guns, that we shouldn't politicize them. It's not just not the right time. But then it's never the right time. You know, Republicans said for a long time, there's no need to talk about climate change. It's in the distant past. Even if global warming exists and even humans are causing it, it won't happen in my lifetime. Just put it off. Well, now this year, with hurricane after hurricane killing hundreds of Americans and no power in Puerto Rico. Wow, the poor people in Puerto Rico suffering there. Millions of people without power and losing their homes and many of their lives. Now maybe they'll talk about climate change, or is that too soon, Republicans? How many mass murders do we have to have until we talk about gun laws? What is this idea that politicians, who are elected to solve problems, should just do nothing as the problems get worse and worse and worse? Is our compassion for the victims supposed to outweigh our intense desire that there be no more victims? Doesn't that mean that the victims died in vain if we do nothing to prevent future violence? To ask the question is to answer it. Let me go back to Jeremy. He's been hanging on the line through the break. Hey, Jeremy, I didn't want to cut you off. Tell me more of what you had to say.
No, I mean, really, what I like what we're talking about, though. It's a good strategy. Talk about the parts that make the weapons so deadly. You're not saying that the gun is bad. You're not restricting people's guns, but you're saying these modifications are illegal. I don't see why that would be. Why is it that people like to make these sayings about them? Why is it always that their stuff is? Again, you and I agree. Hunting, fine. Shooting ranges, fine. But it's when it becomes real life, or the real hits the world like this, that it's devastating.
So I posted on Facebook about this, Jeremy, as you know, this morning, and I got responses, including from some people I know, including from some people that have guns. And, you know, one woman who I know pretty well was talking about how she likes to shoot watermelons in the field. And, okay, that's not something that I would do, but she can do it with a rifle. She doesn't need to do it with an automatic or even a semi-automatic weapon. Another guy talked about the fact that it's hard to distinguish between the easily convertible and not easily convertible. So fine, help us, those of you who care both about your country and about your guns, help us to design the best gun laws. I am all open for suggestions, including from people who own guns. And please, those of you who own guns, all right, I'm not trying to take your gun away from you. Unless you are a criminal, you're a terrorist, you've committed domestic violence, unless you have severe insanity and the kind of violent insanity that will lead you to kill people, or unless you've got an ammunition clip of 20 or more, which is a lot, or maybe 12 or more, we can discuss what level and why you need that many, or unless you have the kind of gun that's easily converted to an automatic weapon, you know, and I'm not talking about if you're in law enforcement or military. Let's be very, very clear. The things we're trying to do, frankly, are relatively minimal. They would save lives. I think they would save hundreds of lives, maybe thousands of lives. We have 33,000 Americans die every year at the hands of guns. And I know what people say. They're like, well, 2/3 of them are suicides. Well, that's true. 2/3 of them are suicides. Do people who kill themselves, do their lives not matter? Are they meaningless? Are they worthless to us? Do we not want to try to prevent suicide? Do you know how hard it is to commit suicide with a razor to your wrists? It's very, very hard to kill yourself that way or to hang yourself. You know, a lot of people, it's not that easy. It's a lot easier to put a gun to the temple. And then there's the other 10,000 or so, almost half of which are accidents. Do we not want to prevent accidental deaths of 5-year-olds who get hands on guns? And some people are like, well, a lot of them are gang murders. Oh, so people who are in gangs don't matter? You know, do we not want to try to prevent gang violence? And what about innocent bystanders killing in games? I mean, it's all these rules and exceptions and this and that and this and that and this and that. And please don't take away my fun on target practice. You know what? I won't take away your fun on target practice. And if you really like your target range, how about if we just store your gun there? If you don't use it outside the target range, let the target range store your gun. And if they negligently let that gun get off the target range, oh, I don't know, life imprisonment. And guess what? They won't do that again. So there are things that can be done for people who actually give a damn about innocent life and care more about it than filling out a little bit of paperwork for their guns. I mean, I look at all the paperwork I fill out for my car, right? I have to get a driver's license. I have to get a registration. I pay tax on my car. I have to get it checked. I've got to get it inspected. And all because cars can kill people. So I don't mind that. I even have a license plate on my car that lets everyone know who I am in case I commit a crime with my car. Why is all of this unthinkable with guns, given that guns kill more people than cars? I don't have an answer for it.
I don't think there is one.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah. Thanks for your call, Jeremy. I want to get some other callers, but I really appreciate your joining the conversation. Let me go to Peggy, line one in Vienna, Virginia. Hey, Peggy, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I like when all my local Virginians are calling in. Thanks for doing so.
Sure. I'm a member of Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America. And recently,
in front of whom I've spoken many times, as you know. But go ahead.
Yes. I know. Thank you. And we recently had a former ATF agent speak, and he now works on the staff of Gabby Gifford's group called Americans for Responsible Solutions. Mm-hmm. And he says that in his experience, the best thing we can do right now is universal background checks and registration of all weapons, because in his experience, if somebody signs their name on a piece of paper saying they own a gun, then they are more apt to keep it safe and use it safely because their name is attributed to that weapon.
I completely agree with you, Peggy. And the same thing is true, again, with cars. We don't think about it, but you know, I have a license plate on my car. I registered my car. If I kill someone with my car, it's easy to find me. And I have to be careful when someone drives my car because, hey, it's my car, and I can be liable for it. So why wouldn't we do that with guns? I mean, cars actually have a purpose other than killing things. They take us from place to place. They may accidentally kill someone, but most car accidents are just that, accidents. Most gun deaths are purposeful. And even most accidents are, you know, the wrong person handling the gun. So you're absolutely right. I think it's a very basic thing, and I don't know why people fear it. You know, people are like, oh, no, if the government knows where our guns are, they're going to take it away. Well, they know where our cars are, and I haven't seen any, you know, mass taking away of cars. To me, you have to look at the seller because, yeah, it's true. People are like, well, you know, criminals are bad people. They're just going to do whatever they want with their guns. Laws won't stop them. And there's some truth to that. But the person giving them that gun, selling them that gun, lending them that gun, providing them that gun over the internet, they maybe don't want mass murder, and stopping that and making it hard to get those guns, or better yet, doing busts. We do drug busts for marijuana and certainly for crack and cocaine and opioids, whatever. How about a few undercover agents who, you know, sell guns, who pose as purchasers and say, I want to buy a gun, no questions asked, and the seller sells it to them. Boom, you go to prison. Now a seller's going to think twice before they do that. There are lots and lots and lots of reasonable laws we can do to help lower gun violence. But with 50 states in this country, with Virginia guns going up to New York and where else, we need statewide solutions. We need national solutions. And that's why, Peggy, I'm so glad your group, Moms Demand Gun Sense, has done terrific work, I know, locally in Virginia and across the nation. There are several other good groups that do really good work. There's Gabby Gifford's organization. There's Mayors Against Gun Violence. There's Campaign 32. There's a whole bunch of them. And thank you for all the work you're doing. We've got to change people's minds. And if we can't do that, well, as our gubernatorial candidate Ralph Northam says, then we got to change their seats. We got to change their votes. We got to get people to vote in Virginia, particularly. In a month, we have an election, and if people are okay with these mass murders and just want to see them increase, they're going to vote for the Republicans. But if they think we need better gun safety regulation, they need to get out and vote for the Democrats.
That's right.
Well, thanks for calling. Anything else you wanted to add?
Pardon?
Anything else you wanted to add?
Well, I wanted to say one more thing about the gun deaths. Now exceed car accident deaths in Virginia
and across
and quite
the nation
a
too.
Few states.
Yeah, no, and nationwide they do.
Yeah, nationwide. Okay,
yes,
great.
It's nationwide. Well, no, it's great, but it's true.
Well, no, I mean, right.
Right.
Well, the good thing is that car deaths have come down, and that's due partly to the Highway Safety Administration being enacted in 1970 that had power to enact laws to make cars safer.
Right.
And so what they did was they had the power to make laws. So that's what we need about guns. We just need a, we need not just, but we need a gun safety administration who can act health care laws surrounding guns. That's what the highway.
What we really need to do, Peggy,
is to
get things like that, which I support, is to change people's minds. And a lot of this has to do with one-on-one conversations. And we are divided on guns like we're divided so much in America into red and blue. But here's the thing. Most people that own guns that I've met, they don't want to commit mass murder. They're good people. They want their guns for all kinds of reasons that I don't agree with. But they want them for, I don't know, target practice or self-defense or whatever. But if we can talk across the aisle, talk with them, convince them that we're not trying to take away your guns unless you're violent or otherwise or have a gun with massive killing power, that we can work together and come to some compromise, then we could get something done. But all I see is whenever I propose, you know, reasonable gun restrictions on ammunition clips or anything like that, I hear this, they're coming to take away our guns, which isn't true. Never has been true in America, and is used to scare everyone into not talking. So we got to convince people, and then we got to go vote. That's the only way we can legally express our desires in America, and that's by voting for people who agree with us on this issue. So thanks for calling, Peggy. I know you're working really hard in Virginia, and I appreciate all your work. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, let me go to Old Faithful. This is Michael in the Bronx. I call him Old Faithful because he calls in so much. Line 5. Hey, Michael, how are you?
Absolutely devastated at what has happened in Vegas. And I have a friend out in Vegas. I just got in touch with him, and he had texted me back that he's okay, you know, one of my musical friends. So
glad to hear
thank
that.
Heavens for that. But you know something? First off, I want to pin this on the NRA, because once again, they're always with the more guns is more guns that, and not once having any kind of corrective plan of action to stop this gun massacre. They had this idea that every person should have a gun, and I'm calling them out also for their double standardness. And I say this based on discrimination along racial lines. And the thing is that they show the identity of this gunman who is Caucasian. All right? But when they pushing for more guns, I think back to what happened with, oh God, now this guy's name slipped my mind. The one that was shot by a cop, and he told the cop,
he had a gun with him. Know? Yeah, African-American man, Oklahoma,
Yeah, Philando Castillo.
Yeah.
That was his name. And complying with every single order, and he still gets fatally shot by a cop, but nowhere in sight blasting this was the NRA. So it's like, what is this? This the rhetoric that they're setting forth and others are setting forth that when a white person has a gun is automatically Second Amendment right, but then when an African American or other minority has a gun, it's automatically soon to be criminal possession of a weapon. I mean, I'm not for guns, and I'm already seeing how this stuff is going way the hell out of proportion. Yeah. And that leads to my next topic, and I'm glad you and another
real quick, though, because we're running up on a break. Go ahead.
Yeah. You and another caller made a comparison between guns and cars. I wish to submit to everybody that having a gun may not be so much in the Second Amendment as it's said to be, and may not be much of a right because of the fact that you have to pay for a permit. You have to pay for a license to have a gun. And it's, as we've seen in government, on both sides of the political spectrum, Democrats and Republicans, they say when it comes to having, when it comes to driving a car, you have to have a license.
Yep,
you have to have
it's
a
true.
Permit
and there's nothing wrong with having a permit for a gun. I got to take a break, Michael. The Second Amendment says that a well-regulated militia be necessary to secure a free state. The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. I don't think the guy in the Mandalay Bay was serving in any kind of well-regulated militia. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Still time to call in. One segment to go. Be right back after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar, and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. voice of reason in an unreasonable world. Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Welcome again to all our new Progressive Voices listeners. I hope you make it a regular practice to listen to us live, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, 2 Central, 1 Mountain. Again, sorry to introduce myself to you on such a tough day, and unfortunately, I fear this won't be the last. It seems that I do these shows the day after all these mass shootings, and they're coming more and more frequently, and they will continue to come more and more frequently until our lawmakers do something to stop them. Right now in the United States Congress, there's actually a law being pushed forward by Republicans to expand the use of silencers. Because, although it's really hard to imagine how the Las Vegas massacre could have been worse, maybe if there was silencers, fewer people would have heard the gunshots, and then, I don't know, hundreds more could have died. So thank you, Republicans, for thinking of a way to make things worse. You know, these people were listening to country music. I know you don't care about black folks, many Republicans out there. You can at least care about the people who like country music. Sorry. Let's go to my friend Julian, actually, another Alexandrian. Love all my hometown people calling in today. On line two. Hey, Julian, how are you?
Hey, hi, Mark. Mark, I had 2 points, and both of them you've dealt with already.
Okay.
By the while I wait, you always take the words out of my mouth. But
it's telepathy, Julian. I have telepathy
with
you.
Yeah, I know, Mark. Now, look, the one thing I wanted to mention was that by a sad irony, you were talking earlier to a lady from Moms Demand Action here in Northern Virginia. Tonight, we were going to go along to an event with Gabby Giffords and Captain Mark Kelly for Moms Demand Action.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to cancel it because she has to reach a wider audience today.
Right.
But what really gets me is the hypocrisy of the Republican excuse for the gun silencers. And for everything else, they are claiming that it is a health and safety measure to protect the hearing of hunters and shooters. And they think we buy this.
You know, you wonder, because I don't want to accuse my fellow Americans who are Republican of wanting mass murder. And I don't think they do want mass murder, but I do know that the NRA pays for their campaigns. I know that every time they can create this kind of hysteria, that they can increase gun sales, and that increases the money for gun manufacturers, and that they give the money to candidates. I mean, people do profit off of this. The irony is electing Donald Trump has probably hurt gun profits because they kept saying, Obama's going to take away your guns, and Hillary's going to take away your guns. Well, you know what? I don't recall President Obama going door-to-door, sending agents door-to-door to take away anybody's guns. And yet they believe it. Again and again and again, they believe this nonsense. Yes, it's true. Liberals want background checks. Yes, it's true. Liberals want to ban guns that are easily converted to automatic weapons. To me, that's the lesson of this particular shooting. We want to ban high-capacity ammunition clips. That's true. But we understand there are hunters out there. We're not going to change America. We know that. It's inconceivable to me that people could believe that. But then again, it's inconceivable to me that people could believe anything that Donald Trump says, for example. So thank you, Julian, for all you do. I know Gabby Giffords works very hard. I was just thinking, in my list of the mass shootings, I didn't even mention Tucson. There have been so many, you know, just one right after the other. I didn't mention Virginia Tech. I don't want these to become household names. I want people to, or frankly, Alexandria, my home and your home, Julian, where the congressman was shot. We need to not have a name in America where every place is known for its gun murder. Thank you, everyone who called in. I'll be back Wednesday with the Lieutenant Governor, hopefully the next one of Virginia, Justin Fairfax. This is Mark Levine signing off.